primary care doctors are supposed to be the first stop in the COVID-19 crisis. That's who you call if you have symptoms, partly to relieve pressure on hospitals. But the pandemic has put immense financial strain on primary care practices. In Western Massachusetts, as elsewhere, they've made major changes in how they operate. But for some, it won't be enough. New England Public Radio's Karen Brown reports.
Once a week, the doctors at Amherst Pediatrics stand 6 feet apart in the hallway to discuss how to adapt to the COVID-19 crisis.
And every time we look back, we think how strange it was that we were saying something so different a week ago.
Dr. John Snyder says to limit exposure to the virus for both patients and providers, they've stopped doing most well visits, but they're still seeing children under two who need vaccines.
We can't risk having outbreaks of vaccine-preventable diseases as a result of this.
He says some injuries and illnesses need a face-to-face visit. That includes some potential coronavirus cases, which they see in the parking lot. But like most practices right now, the vast majority of visits are done by Zoom or telephone, and they're treating many fewer patients overall. Since insurers usually pay per patient visit, income has plummeted.
Primary care has really suffered immensely under the COVID-19 pandemic.
Russell Phillips runs the Center for Primary Care at Harvard Medical School, which has been hearing from struggling practices around the country.
Primary care has really converted to a virtual specialty almost overnight.
In Massachusetts, doctors' offices have quickly ramped up the technology that allows them to see patients through telemedicine.
I wouldn't have thought this was possible, but I feel like I've gotten very good at just hearing what someone with COVID sounds like over the telephone.
Eric Churchill is a doctor at High Street Health Center, part of Bay State Health. Before COVID-19, he says about 2% of their visits were done over the phone or video. Now it's probably 95%. Like many doctors, Churchill considers this pivot to telemedicine good for many patients in the long run.
And they don't have to spend a half a day off of work or disrupt their family care needs. And particularly, many of our patients have difficulty with transportation.
But the uptick in telemedicine does not make up for the drop in regular visits for primary care or specialists. Although the Massachusetts governor has ordered insurers to pay for telemedicine the same way they pay for face-to-face visits, providers are wary. John Snyder says he expects some insurers will put limits on the price of more complicated televisits.
They've already told us that they're not going to agree to reimburse at the higher levels that we might normally be reimbursed for.
Even with virtual visits, Snyder says his practice is only seeing a third the patients they normally do. So to balance the budget, he says both staff and doctors have reduced their hours by about 60%, with future layoffs possible.
On some levels, we're no different than a small business in that we keep the lights on solely based on what we bring in.
The economics are grim across the country, according to the nonprofit Primary Care Collaborative. In a recent survey of medical practices, almost half said the COVID-19 crisis has caused severe strain on their offices, with the possibility they may need to shut down.
So we're doing all the first steps one takes when you get into this kind of an economic situation.
Joel Feynman is president of Valley Medical Group, which had to furlough some employees and is leaving other positions unfilled. Feynman says his office plans to apply for federal loans to get through this period. The state recently announced $800 million to help the healthcare industry, including a small share for physician groups. But Feynman says he doesn't want to count on that.
Mostly we're redesigning what we're doing at the moment on the fly to take care of this very present need.
The situation has also renewed talk about a better payment model that would make doctors less vulnerable to crises like COVID-19. Instead of the current fee-for-service system, many doctors would prefer what's called global payment. That means insurance companies would pay doctors according to their overall number of patients, even during slow periods. Dr. Joel Feynman.
You're being paid to take care of the population no matter how you see them, whether you see them in the office, you talk to them on the phone, you do telehealth, you do preventive care.
That's a long-term solution, of course. In the short term, every provider reached for this story said what would have really helped is a coordinated response from the federal government, one that supported primary care as an essential industry, instead of leaving each practice to fight for its own survival. As John Snyder says,
primary care practice closes, that's really a bad thing for the community. Where are people going to go when this is over?
For New England Public Radio, I'm Karen Brown.